So ideally, we now go to chapter 14, interviews for special candidates. What do we mean by special candidates? Candidates with special needs and disabilities. What is the focus on? They ideally may have specific learning difficulties, say a physical deformity from birth, like not having one hand, one leg, or ideally something which is not easily visible, so having something like epilepsy, which ideally the person may get an epileptic attack. So, ideally, we talk of various ways and means when we talk of an individual with special needs and disabilities. So, interview preparation, learning objectives. After studying this chapter, you should be able to talk of strategy which has to be planned for handling uncommon special condition, different types of such special conditions, how or when to disclose special conditions, and the strategy for each condition. See, probably you've applied for a job and you realize that you're going to deliver in the next few months, since you're expecting. Now, is it that you're going to hide this since things are not visible as yet, or do you feel you should disclose it? So ideally, a lot to do with your thought process. So, like any other normal person, an individual with a physical or any other special condition is also concerned as to how to prepare for a job interview to gain employment. Interview situation is anxiety causing for all candidates. It becomes more so for those candidates who have special condition or handicap as it is formally known, which carries some apparent disadvantage. It is important to have a credible story around the truth of the situation. It is important to be able to admit that disadvantage, like a physical challenge or failed entrepreneurial experience. When I say physical challenge or failed entrepreneurial experience, you share all what you've been through and then quickly focus on what lessons you have learned, what new skills you've built, how you are able to deal with them in a resilient and persistent manner. Overcome the negatives of the situation. So when we talk ideally of interviews, if we discuss disabled or able-bodied, an able-bodied person may have gone through more other challenges at an entrepreneurial level. That means failed entrepreneurial experience. So a lot depends on how we look at a particular situation, how we deal with it. When we talk of disabled or able-bodied, both it is said that display similar feelings of anxiety. Though it is said very often there is a disconnect between the interview score and hiring applicants. That means if I'm talking of taking an interview for an applicant, whether he's able-bodied or disabled, there is no link for me in terms of his score. That means I overlook that aspect, that even if he's disabled, for me it doesn't matter. Now, why it doesn't matter? Because ideally, if a person is disabled, say ideally I am taking an interview, and if he's in computer engineer, I realize that he's very effective with whatever he has learned. He's very effective with software. So I don't need to really look into that aspect that he doesn't have one leg. As long as he comes to work on time, as long as he does the work appropriately, that's what is my concern. Special character may relate to a gap in career or employment. Why did you take a gap? Maybe you had too many family issues. Maybe somewhere you had a terminally ill patient at home. Maybe ideally you focused on academics and did short-term courses. Maybe ideally you went through a lot of personal issues. So why did you take a gap? Interrupted education. Again, why did you take a break between your academics? Some people say health problems. Some people say financial problems, so they had to get to work. Some people say they ideally lost their hand or leg in an accident and could not come to work immediately. They needed time to recuperate. Some people ideally said that they probably were too focused on their personal problems and financial crisis. physical disability from birth, when I say physical disability from birth, say not having one hand, not having one leg, only having one ear, right? Can see only with one eye. Underweight or obese physique. Experience in non-related fields. Being pregnant. Being more senior to or overqualified for the job required. And many more. So ideally, you talk ideally of special characters here. That if you're expecting, you take a break maybe. Then you are experienced in non-related fields. So you realize that where is your career going? What do you wish to do? So various aspects here. To disclose or not to disclose. While preparing for the job interview, the first issue the special candidates have to face is to whether to disclose a handicap or hold it until the prospective employer finds it out or inquires about it. After all, what job candidate wants to give an employer a reason not to hire them? I just give an example a few slides back. If you're expecting and if you do not reveal it, later on it may be a problem because after a few months you will be told that your work requires you to travel often. Why is it that you would not disclose to us? So ideally in that case, you are focusing not on disability. In that case, you're focusing on hiding a particular condition. Now we are focusing here on special needs. When you focus on trying to convince the interviewer that you're right for the job, the last thing you want to do is to tell them that all areas where you need improvement. And as a result, this question can feel like a trap. Does the interviewer truly expect you to divulge your weak spot, when the answer could work against you? No wonder job seekers hate it. I guess at the end of it, we'd say this is individualistic. Are you comfortable mentioning that you have ideally a deformity which may not be seen? Right? Say if you have a hole in the heart, it's not seen. So do you want to mention it? Or ideally, if you cannot see with one eye, which may be visible to the opposite person. So do you need to mention it immediately? Do you need to mention it only when asked? Or do you need to mention it at a later stage? So that once you've cleared all the rounds, you are explaining your condition. So we say to disclose or not disclose. What is the situation? How is it going to affect my work, my designation and status, and will it have a negative impact as far as work is concerned? Some practical implications for job interviews for applicants with disabilities include research findings that show there are no differences in interviewer responses to a brief, shorter discussion or a detailed, longer discussion about the disability during the interview. Applicants, however, should note that when a non-visible disability is disclosed near the end of the interview, applicants were rated more negatively than early disclosing and non-disclosing applicants. Therefore, it is possible that interviewers feel individuals who delay disclosure may do so out of shame or embarrassment. In addition, if the disability is disclosed after being hired, employees may feel deceived by the new hire and reactions could be less positive than they would have been in the interview. Now, let's take this aspect. Practical implications for job interviews with disabilities include research findings that there is no difference in the interviewer response to a brief, shorter discussion or detailed, longer discussion about the disability. That means, ideally, whether I have a candidate who's come for an interview, whether he's disabled or not, my conversation should focus more around what he can contribute, why should we hire him, what is exceptional in terms of his skills and abilities, and will my hiring him be effective for my organization. That's what we need to look into. Applicants, however, should know that when a non-visible disability is disclosed in the end, so for example, a person who says he has a hole in the heart, they were rated negatively. Why? Than early disclosing and non-disclosing applicants. Again, I feel this is contradictory. Now, if you're disclosing towards the end, after you've cleared the interview, what is wrong? Because you may feel, I do not want to disclose my physical condition immediately. So what is wrong if you disclose it towards the end? But they're saying, disclose it near the end of the interview. Applicants were rated more negatively. So what could be the reason that towards the end of the interview, you are actually saying your physical deformity? Why is it that you're rated negatively? Just because you put it forward towards the end. In fact, I feel your interview went well. Everything has gone good. And then you mention all the more better. It is possible that interviewers feel individuals who delay disclosure may do so out of shame or embarrassment. So then the person takes the interview. Interviewer feels that. He just shared it out of embarrassment and feels that now he has to disclose it. In addition, if the disability is disclosed after being hired, employees may feel deceived. So one thing is for sure, you cannot disclose a disability after you are hired. You should disclose it immediately. For example, if a person has got HIV positive, is HIV positive, the person has to disclose it. Many of the companies even get these tests done. But ideally, you should disclose it. If applicants want to disclose a disability during the interview, research shows that a disclosure or discussion early in the interview approach may afford them some positive interview effects. So what is mentioned here is that you mention it at the initial stage. So you have early stage, middle stage and final stage. So in the infancy stage, when you go for an interview, mention it. Now, I feel there are 2 points to this again. Are you comfortable mentioning it in the infancy stage? Do you feel that if you mention it in the infancy stage, they may take sympathy, ideally, which you don't want? You want the person to empathize with you, not sympathize. So do you feel it will be appropriate to mention in the early stages? The positive effects, however, are preceded by the interviewer's perception of the applicant's psychological well-being. That if the person has mentioned it, the person feels that, okay, at least the person has not cheated. That means the interviewer feels at least the applicant has not cheated the interviewer. That is when the interviewer perceives that the applicant is psychologically well and is comfortable with his or her disability. A person may not have a leg, but the person is psychologically well and is comfortable, which will show in the behavior. So that is when the interviewer perceives the applicant is psychologically well and or is comfortable with his or her disability. There can be positive interviewer effects. In contrast, if the interviewer perceives the applicant as uncomfortable or anxious discussing the disability, this may either fail to garner positive effect or result in more negative interviewer ratings for the candidate. So it will result in more negative interview ratings for the candidate. So, in simple words, the defect which you or I, if at all we ever have as human beings, it is up to us whether we are able to express it with comfort. It is up to us, that means to accept that situation as a part of our life. It is up to us that even when we go for an interview, I should not let that inferiority complex overtake me and I should be comfortable with my condition. Then ideally it will serve the purpose. One choice, do not talk about the disability. Now they're giving us choices. One aspect they're saying do not talk. Not mentioning the disability in an interview can be a first indication of the resumption of a life that no longer revolves around the disability. Do not make the disability the epitome of your life. That means do not so much get caught into it that you forget to focus on every other positive aspect of your life. See, it is up to us whether we want to get caught and focus only on what we don't have, or it is up to us whether we actually see other aspects of life which are highly beneficial in terms of progress as far as career is concerned. Non-disclosure can even help change your life focus, turning your attention outward, expanding from the survival mode and thinking about other issues including work. To an extent, non-disclosure of a physical disability or a disability will be better because it means that you're not focusing only on what you're going through or what has happened to you. It means you're focusing on a lot of other aspects of life which are extremely beneficial for positive thought process. For example, your work, your hobby, such as you being a voracious reader, you go, in spite of this disability, you go trekking once a month. You have the grit and determination to focus on other activities too. To widen your gaze beyond your medical condition, you will want to learn appropriate ways to speak about your life in an employment situation. It is common that a person with a disability does not know how to describe his or her skills and situation in a manner that does not include mentioning the disability. So what does this mean ideally? That a person with disability does not know how to describe his or her skills. He or she is so caught up in what he's feeling and going through because of the disability that the focus anywhere else is not 100%. Do not talk about disability. Lack of interviewing skills. When we say this lack of interviewing skills, easily corrected should not be the reason for revealing a disability in the interview. Often individuals who have disabilities forget that many of the fellow employees go to work daily with an invisible disability or disabilities or potentially disabling conditions, ulcers, migraines, mental disabilities, right? There's so many people who go to work every day. Migraine attack can happen anytime. Epileptic attack can happen anytime. Then you talk of ulcers, which can really be difficult to deal with. So many aspects of life. But in spite of that, they continue and carry on to work. And they perform. That means they are focusing on their career. They work around their discomforts or inabilities without feeling the need to explain them to an interviewer or employer. You can always talk about the disability after you're on the job and know more about the kind of accommodations you need. See, this is also because of what kind of work you're doing and what kind of disability you have. Someone who is on dialysis, needs transfusion every 2-3 days, may not be able to work at all. So a lot to do with the kind of disability you have, but in spite of that, you can work effectively and efficiently. And also, your focus can be everything else besides your disability. That will let you progress in life. The major reasons for not disclosing a visible disability prior to the interview. Before the interview, why do you not disclose your disability? You might not get the chance to interview to present your qualifications if you disclose a disability. Yes, the chance of an interview coming up may just not be there because you've revealed your present condition. You may be in for a loss. Though today companies do hire physically challenged people too. They focus on CSR, corporate social responsibility, whereby you're focusing on the welfare of society, contributing towards the betterment of society. There is ample evidence of employer discrimination towards persons with disabilities that necessitated passage laws against discrimination against persons with disabilities. We have this policy of inclusion that means include people who are disabled. Include them where? As far as workplaces are concerned. Do not make them feel segregated. Make them feel a part of your organization. They are human beings like you and me too. Except that they may have some disability, but we are not including them. So policy of inclusion is mandatory. It's required. Disclosing the disability makes it a relevant part of job seeking. Your abilities to do the job should be the focus of the interview. Yes. You do not have to have either an inferiority complex or a superiority complex. You should focus on the skill as far as your job is concerned. The mechanics of how to do the job, whether and which accommodations you might need, should be discussed only after the job offer. Now here they're saying this because you will otherwise not even maybe get a chance to go for the interview. Talking about the disability takes up a limited time in an interview when you could be displaying your skills and relevant experience to do the job. Talking about the disability, especially as part of the initial interviewing process, makes the disability a part of your introduction of yourself. A lasting label, long after any accommodations of the disability on the job are worked out. You become Sameer, the guy with one arm, rather than Sameer Shah, the office administrator. Now, they think talking about it makes the disability a part of your introduction of yourself, a lasting label. So, if you introduce yourself in that manner whereby you focus on the disability, then probably that would be on the mind of the person who's taking your interview, the interviewer, because you've introduced yourself with or in a manner whereby you're focusing on your disability. So a lasting label. So we need to introduce ourselves just the way any other able-bodied person would introduce himself or herself. Able-bodied is a term which is opposite of disabled. Someone who's disabled or has a disability would probably not have an arm or a leg, or probably when you talk of disabilities, then you also talk of disabilities which are not easily seen. For example, migraine, that is not seen, that is felt by the person. But when you talk of able-bodied, the person is healthy and fine, assumed to be healthy and fine. Not disclosing the disability allows you to place the disability in the proper perspective in regard to employment. You manage your disability while focusing on the main task, doing the job. I feel this is appropriate. When you're working, you're focusing on results. You're focusing on being motivated. You're focusing on being enthusiastic and delivering. So whether a person has a physical deformity, a disability or not, that should not be the prime focus. The disability is not the major element of your work life. This may be a change in emphasis for newly disabled workers or people whose lives have been completely changed by illness, whose disability has been the major topic of conversation and the driving force in all his or her interactions for years. It is common when a disabling condition occurs that every aspect of life is predicted on the medical condition. Food, sleep, activity schedules, income, social life, reading material, public and private relationships, even conversation changes. It's a known fact that even if you don't wish to put this disability on the top of your list, somewhere it will definitely change your life. First and foremost could be your diet, your food habits, your sleeping patterns, right? It also focuses that your work, the schedule may be too hectic and you may have to take it a bit light. Then you talk of your income, right? Medical expenses definitely can reach the roof. Then you ideally talk of relationships, which also probably change. Maybe sometimes the person who is going through a health problem changes, or maybe sometimes the people around him or her change because they find it difficult to accept. So ideally, lot of aspects in terms of changes. So again, when we say changes in terms of relationships, even public, it's up to you whether you wish to disclose it to a whole lot of people or just to your near and dear ones. Second choice, talk about the disability. So far we said do not disclose. Now they're saying disclose. Some reasons for telling the interviewer about your disability prior to the interview. It indicates acceptance of yourself as having the disability. Willingness to tell a stranger about a disability may reflect your comfort with being a person with a disability and may help others to be comfortable with you. If you want to share with a stranger, it is probably because you feel comfortable sharing with that stranger. If you share prior to an interview, it's also your ability to accept that this is reality and you do not mind sharing it. It weeds out those interviewers who will be unable to deal with the disability and evaluate you on your credentials fairly because of their reaction to the disability. Since you have been honest right from the start, but here let's take it in this manner, honesty along with confidence and positive attitude. You've expressed the situation. You've not expressed your feelings or emotions here. You've expressed the condition. So that ideally then serves the purpose. So in this case, it'll bring comfort to others who may realize that how you're handling the situation so effectively and confidently. And it may help others to be comfortable with you. Talk about the disability. We continue with the second choice. It helps you not waste your time trying to alter the perceptions or help in the adjustment of an interviewer. That means right from the start, if I've disclosed it, if the interviewer has made up his mind or her mind that they do not want to hire a physically challenged person, then ideally what happens? That the interviewer feels I'm being direct. So if he feels he's wasting his time, fair enough. He does not need to take my interview. Some people with disabilities feel they do not really want to work in a situation where they have to prove themselves to someone. So it's like, you know, I am what I am. You accept me, your choice. Although this approach may be seen as condoning discrimination, it also acknowledges the enormous amounts of energy that people with disabilities expend on helping others change their attitudes just to start on a working relationship. What does this mean? That sometimes when we talk ideally of a disability, when we acknowledge it, we expect others acknowledge it too. And ideally they're saying helping others change the attitude. When I've accepted it, somebody who has a non-accepting attitude may just develop an accepting attitude towards me. And that's what will bring a change. It deals with the disability issue right away and does not create a situation in which the interviewer may be uncomfortably surprised. Some people with disabilities are concerned that surprising an interviewer might create a lasting barrier to long-term career success by forming a first bad impression, right? If you've shared it right away, the interviewer too may feel you've been honest and it'll make a difference. It allows the interviewer to formulate relevant questions for the interview ahead of time. People living with disabilities sometimes feel that being honest, candid and frank about the disability signals how they want the disability issue to be handled. So what are the ways and means this disability issue should be handled? Sometimes they feel that if they're honest, what is wrong? But if they're honest, how should the situation be handled? That is of prime importance. So when we talk about disability, a second chance, a receptive hearer may appreciate your courage in disclosing a disabling condition. So a person who's willing to hear you out will feel and appreciate that it is worth it you share the information. Some job seekers feel admired and remembered better because of the uniqueness and honesty of this approach. For years now, the common advice about this question has been to answer with a strength disguised as weakness. Say you're a perfectionist or that you work too hard. Or you have trouble leaving work behind when you go home at night. In a way, these ideally are considered strengths disguised as weakness. Or maybe I would take it the other way around. They're ideally weaknesses, but you ideally put it forward in a manner which shows it as a strength too. But unfortunately for job seekers who try these answers, interviewers are increasingly refusing to accept them. Yes, ideally if you say you're a perfectionist, an interviewer will not want to accept this answer because they will feel, even if you're a perfectionist, is it possible that every time you are a perfectionist? It's very difficult. So ideally we talk of disability. The approach here is being honest and direct. No information which is hidden. No cheating in terms of misleading as far as information is concerned. Talk about the disability. This means that you should come prepared with an honest assessment of your weak spots. What have you struggled with in the past? In fact, you can set an example when you explain. What have past managers encouraged you to do differently? They motivated you to a great extent. They've realized that you do not let your disability come in the middle of your work. They realize and appreciate your efforts. And they also feel that you are highly skilled and can progress in life since you do not let this obstacle overtake you. Now, why obstacle? Because a lot of people term it as obstacles. It's what you term it to be. If you could wave a magic wand over your head and change something about your professional skills or traits, what would it be? So someone else will say live up to deadlines. Someone will say be punctual. Someone will say remove the deformity or disability, right? So various aspects. Plan your strategy. What is a strategy? A method or a plan to bring about a desired effect, such as achievement of a goal or a solution to a problem which may be unusual. Those with disadvantages of any type should research to find organization or organizations for which these disadvantages are not such negatives. That means when ideally I am doing research for a job, he or she should realize that if they're looking or doing research, the most important criteria here is the organization willing to hire people with disabilities? Do ideally they focus on corporate social responsibility or CSR as an act or duty performed by them? Say some organizations say they hire 3% of the people with disabilities. They feel they're contributing to the welfare of society, which is required. For instance, many organizations are actively creating employment programs and career paths to let women make a second start of their careers. What do we mean by second start? Say you've taken a gap of 10 years. Why? Because once you got a child, then you realize that you'd prefer taking a break from work. So once you get back to work, it is like a second start because 10 years is a long gap. But you felt at that juncture that was your priority and that was what was required by you. Some organizations want entrepreneurial experience. Successful experience is of course better, but even failed can work. Any failure can widen your horizons. Any failure, if you are able to accept it, then when you go for an interview, you will be able to elaborate and accept it and convince or persuade them effectively by focusing on what you learned through those failures. Not by focusing on those failures which have made you move back in life instead of moving ahead. Some organizations, for both human and practical reasons, are open to including in their teams people with physical challenges and disabilities. So, as we just discussed, it depends on the organization. That's what is important. Please remember, you just cannot gloss over any gap in your education or job career. Always provide chronological data under both the columns. Explain how the interval was utilized by you to build your career and develop skills for the present position you are to apply. If the gap is of a short duration, you can just round up the dates in your CV to provide only the year in place of the month and a year. So when you talk, probably if your gap is of short duration, then it will not be that much of a hassle for you maybe, as compared to a gap for a long period of time. Then they're saying you round up the dates in the CV only to provide a year. The focus could be a year. So if you've taken 2 months gap, it is not so much which needs to be looked into as compared to a 2 years gap. So Jan 2013, yeah, they're saying October 2010 to March 2012, and then you're talking of Jan 2013. So ideally, what was the candidate doing from April to December 2012? And you will be asked this question because from April 2012 to ideally December 2012, those few months, what was it you spent your time doing? Were you looking into a terminally ill patient at home? Were you probably traveling? Were you probably taking a break just to, you know, focus on a few hobbies? What exactly was your priority at that juncture? A gap in career or employment. This is how Vasant Desai included his 2-year career gap in the CV. So, he's ideally, when we talk of CVs, it is chronological order. That means reverse order. You focus on the current employment first, and then you talk of the others which you have probably worked before with. So, 2013 onwards, that's where the hyphen year, JKL Limited Purchasing Manager, 2008 to 10. Now, this ideally, when we talk of 8 to 10, that means 10 to, say, end of 2012. Here, the year is written, the month is not. So, let's assume this is Jan 2013. So, 2010 to December 2012, what was a concerned person doing? Traveling in Asia, visited different factories in China, Thailand, Singapore, and Japan to gain knowledge about their sourcing strategies, vendor management, and raw materials handles. This kind of exposure will definitely be an add-on for the CV. This kind of exposure is probably a positive aspect for career growth because the person has traveled, the person has got exposed to various cultures, the person has understood the way of functioning of people from other cultures as compared to their own, and the person ideally has also learned a lot and come back. So ideally, please note, prior to the interview, he did collect required data from journals and internet so that he was ready for expected questions from the interviewers. It is understood that these kind of questions will be asked. So he was all the more prepared as to what exactly to be and what exactly he should answer and what exactly are the facts he needs to put forward.